Elbow from here inside the nurturing biosphere. Time to stop down for a little bit of
entertainment news for you.
And this is brought to you by
Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram and All Pro Foundation Repair.
So, let's say we get a little flashlight going here. Step inside the Copenhagen room. And here he is. Dallas Radio's most abrasive, polarizing, over the top personality. Here's Cobra.
Here he is, the Cobra. Here's Cobra.
I do think I want to see Godzilla, though.
Anyway, Godzilla sucks. There you go. Great article today in the New York Times. Man, this is fascinating. It is so up our alley. It's unbelievable.
They're about El Chapo decals?
No, it is not about El Chapo decals.
Man, this, if you're talking about the fire,
yes.
Man, let's save this. This is a segment or two thing, right? This is massive.
Yeah, it is.
Or do it.
Yeah.
Or that was good e-news.
Maybe
dude.
Touch on it, and then maybe we can retouch on it tomorrow, because there's so much information here.
There was a fire back in 2008 on the Universal lot out in California that most notably at the time took out the iconic town square.
Right, the New York backdrop.
Yeah, and it took out the little town square that Back to the Future was shot in. So yeah, that little circle.
There's a lot of, yeah, a lot
took
of...
Took out King Kong.
Yes, yes.
And things then
the
that.
New York City skyline backdrop, a lot of that stuff that, you know, was used in huge, huge movies.
Yeah. Started in, they said, on New England Street.
Yep.
Which was a lot of cottages that would, you know, be portrayed in like a New England setting. Anyway, it spread. And it spread, and it spread. And it ended up near what was deemed Building 6197, which was, for those who worked there, known as the Video Vault. But that was a misnomer because it actually was the Audio Vault. And it held, Michael, the masters, the master recordings of what appears to be
everything.
Everybody and everything. Now, for those who don't know, as the New York Times describes it, a master recording is a one-of-a-kind artifact, an irreplaceable primary source of a piece of recorded music. It held tape masters dating back as far as the 1940s, as well as digital masters of more recent vintage. It held multi-track recordings, the raw recording materials, each part still isolated, drums, keyboards, guitar, everything, on separate but adjacent areas of tape. So this basically had...
These are your reels.
Yes.
These are the original recording reels for essentially everybody. And not only just magnetic tape, you had digital sources, original digital sources. You had stuff that predated vinyl and magnetic tape that things were recorded on back in the 20s and 30s.
They lost about 150,000 recordings, 500,000 song titles, according to Randy Aronson, who took the phone call, and they said, the fire's getting near your building. He was in charge of that building, and his response was, oh my God. And it completely wiped it out.
This happened 11 years ago and was covered up.
Yeah, I don't really know why, but this is what we're finding out.
I think there's a reason why. This is effing huge.
Yeah, it is. This is, Mike, this is who was involved in it. Among the incinerated Decca masters were recordings by the following: Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, Al Jolson, Bing Crosby, Ella Fitzgerald, Judy Garland.
It goes on.
It goes way on. They had the masters for Chess records, including Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Willie Dixon, Bo Diddley, Etta James, John Lee Hooker, Buddy Guy, Little Walter. The master tapes of the first commercially released material by Aretha Franklin when she was a teenager. All of Buddy Holly's masters were lost in the fire. Most of John Coltrane's masters were lost.
All of his Impulse stuff gone, Mike.
As were the masters for Impulse releases by Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Coleman Hawkins, Dizzy Gillespie, Alice Coltrane. And then, then it goes on to more current. And what we have, as time goes on, they lost the recordings to Sammy Davis Jr., Les Paul, Fats Domino, Burl Ives, Kitty Wells, Ernest Tubb, Loretta Lynn, George Jones, Merle Haggard, B.B. King, Ike Turner, Quincy Jones, Burt Bacharach, Joan Baez, Neil Diamond, Sonny and Cher, The Mamas and the Papas, Joni Mitchell, Captain Beefheart,
Woo.
Cat Stevens, The Carpenters, Gladys Knight, Al Green, The Flying Burrito Brothers, Elton John, Lynyrd Skynyrd. I'm going to finish this because it's worth it. Eric Clapton, Jimmy Buffett, The Eagles, Don Henley, Aerosmith, Steely Dan, Iggy Pop, Rufus and Chaka Khan, Barry White, Patti LaBelle, Yoko Ono, Tom Petty, The Police, Sting, George Strait, Steve Earle, R.E.M., Janet Jackson, Eric B., and Rakim, yeah, New Edition, Bobby Brown, Guns N' Roses, Queen Latifah, Mary J. Blige, Sonic Youth, No Doubt, Nine Inch Nails, Snoop, Nirvana, Soundgarden, Hole, Beck, Sheryl Crow, Tupac, Eminem, 50 Cent, and The Roots.
Tupac.
Gone.
Daddy.
Gone, gone, gone.
Why is this significant, you might ask? Because everything that you hear comes from the source. And these are the sources. So anytime that the Beatles come out with a remastered, reissued, mono vinyl recording, they're not going back to some digital copy and then kind of working their way around that. They're going back to these tapes and remastering them from these original source tapes. These source tapes are gone. So basically what you have left are facsimiles. It's basically like, you may have a print of the Mona Lisa in your house and it looks great, but if you put that print up next to the original Mona Lisa, the hand-painted one, you're going to see a massive difference in definition, in quality, in nuance. That's what you have here, is that the original, it's basically like losing the original Mona Lisa and never being able to see that or make a copy from it again. The only way you're ever going to make copies of this music or rework this music is from a secondary reproduction.
Did they cover this up?
This is massive.
Did they cover this up or not release it just because when they would release these records, for whatever reason, box sets, different recordings, so people weren't aware that they were cribbing them from digital recordings or stuff off YouTube and things like that? I mean, seriously.
They weren't from the source, that they were,
yeah,
they were reproductions? I don't know. And it took some investigative reporting to get to the bottom of this, because this is a massive cover-up. Now, at the time, I believe there was a woman, a reporter, that got close to it and claimed that, yeah, I'm hearing that some pretty significant master recordings were lost, but everybody from the record companies would come back and go, no, no loss at all. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
No, you lost hundreds and hundreds of thousands.
Now, the artists, obviously, were all told. And one of the Carpenters, I guess the one that's alive.
The dude.
That'd be Richard.
Man Carpenter.
He's the one that was pretty open about it, and the one that kind of, in 2014, somebody was asking him about his their master tapes. He was like, oh, yeah, we don't have those. Those were lost in that fire a couple years back. And they were like, what?
What fire? Oh, the Universal fire?
So they just got your tapes. It was like somebody lit a Bic, and they caught the Carpenter's tape on fire? No. No, it's everyone's. And so they say this has been out there for years. You had to make a public request, though, to see what actually was taken out. Mm-hmm. And that's what the New York Times has done to shed light on this.
I wonder how many of these artists, or if any of those artists that we just ran down, were not aware that their tapes had been lost.
I bet they were all aware. I bet they were all aware.
God. So, yeah. Mike,
it's hardcore, man.
Steely Dan and Tom Petty.
Yeah, what am I going to do?
Like, any time that they come out with some new reissue, or, hey, man, we wanted to make mono recordings of Asia, it won't be from the source, because that's gone.
Second
forever.
Generation, or later.
The HBO original series Big Little Lies began its second season on Sunday with its second largest audience ever, which is very, very good for them. Only the season one finale had a bigger tune-in. And that's great news for that show, which is expecting to do the same thing. And they added Meryl Streep this year. You haven't seen it yet, have you, Danny?
I haven't had electricity since then.
Mike and I could act it out tonight in your living room.
I'd love that. By candlelight.
Yeah. A little playlet.
That'd be great. Me and my dog just sitting there
staring at us, eating.
Eating snacks.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I did too.
It had a multi-platform audience of 8.5 million viewers, 7 times higher than the average for its initial airings when you look at it over every single platform. Now, look, it ain't Game of Thrones, but this is not Game of Thrones. This is still fairly niche-y, but it's just got huge, huge actors in it. And Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon and Laura Dern and Meryl Streep now. Adding Meryl Streep to the damn thing. She's pretty annoying, I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
But she's supposed to be annoying.
But she's really good, and Meryl Streep doesn't do anything she doesn't want to do anyway.
Exactly. She's great. Here's a weird story. Fortnite has eclipsed Facebook and Instagram as tweens' preferred social platform.
That's how they communicate. It's okay. Via a video game.
Yeah, they say Fortnite isn't just a game, it's also social media, mm-hmm. which I didn't know.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I didn't know that either. I thought it was a goofy video game with a couple of flippers on it.
Social media, all that really means is a platform to communicate with other people via the internet.
Yeah.
Email is social media.
A platform for sexting.
So yeah, if you can message someone directly while you're playing Fortnite, then yeah, it's social media.
82% of the players are under the age of 35. Of the 18% that make up the above 35...
Are Saroys?
Yes, are Saroy and Saroy. I think just the Sea Cow is the big Fortnite players. Cash playing it too?
I don't know if Cash does.
I know Mike does.
Mike will watch videos in here of Fortnite.
Mike's always wearing headsets and talking to 12-year-old kids. And
good Lord.
He admitted that.
Just like MFing him.
Like he was he was talking, like playing games with this girl,
mm-hmm.
and he just thought that she was like 25 or whatever, and they're just sitting there talking, and he's like, "So how old are you?" She goes, 13. And he's like,
block.
Whoa. So
do you like popsicles?
Do you have mommy?
Can I talk to your mom?
Lived in St. Louis. He's like, it's weird.
That's scary.
To have Saroy macking down on your 13-year-old or just scary in general?
No, that's scary, period. But, I mean, just having your 13-year-old, I mean, it's the internet. What are you going to do?
I know.
God.
I know.
Control that thing.
What, the internet?
They're trying, but they're
internet.
They're inventing a mirror internet that can't be controlled.
Netflix.
Is that the internet?
It's internet.
The Netflix CEO, he said in January that they compete and lose more with Fortnite than they do with HBO. Fortnite is a bigger competitor than HBO is.
For people's
attention spans. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I need to turn my dog on to Fortnite. Maybe she'll pay attention to that.
Probably not.
Fortnite.
Yeah, bro. It's big. All right, we got to go. Let's talk finals. Let's go.